Welcome to CineQuest Video.
Okay, welcome to episode 3, CineQuest Video, part 3 of the Lucinda Dickey trilogy, where we will be talking about Ninja 3 Domination.
Rounding out the end of this ridiculous
Yes, this is, we've come to the end of this trilogy.
Series.
And Jerry, I'm really surprised that you stuck with us to this, this three-part episode.
What can I say? These are movies from a different time, I guess.
A dumber
before
time.
Before my time.
A derpy time.
And it's very interesting to see how y'all made these movies and what you guys thought was a good movie.
Right. Oh, man.
Well,
it was even approved to begin
when
with.
When you watch these as kids, Jerry, I mean, you're pretty much, you're at the first scene, you know.
In my childhood, I guess the closest thing to this would have been the Power Rangers, because choreography was very, very
shitty
out there.
In the 80s, a lot of the choreography was a lot slower. I mean, there wasn't too much. Well, I mean, they didn't have too much money, so
no,
a lot of the emphasis wasn't on doing elaborate things. They just needed to get the fight scene out of the way. Throw a few kicks, throw a few punch,
right.
Throw in a sword here and there.
They raided Dollar General
so
for all
about
of their
the
props.
Sword, every slash that she would make, you literally saw how it made no contact with the person at all.
she whiffed everything.
That's the cinematography right there. Those are the special effects. All the angles that they would get, you could tell that there was no contact made between the person and the sword.
But they did have those big gaps.
Yeah, there was a lot of gash.
Oh, those the lethal paper cuts or whatever that everybody seems to develop after she slashes at them or whatever and misses by a mile. It just appears on them.
Well, right off the bat, I want to just mention that the font.
Oh,
I think earlier Roland had a. Well, he noticed that too while I was writing a note down regarding the font. It's very, I want to say
like ninja
Asian,
bamboo.
Asian ninja font. That's what'd you say? Ancient bamboo? Bamboo is that what you said?
I was like ancient ninja bamboo
font.
Font or whatever.
Is that like a type of font on Microsoft Word?
If it isn't, it should be, right? I mean,
it was introduced in the most recent update.
This is like a Papyrus 2.0 or some shit.
That's a Windows 10 thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Only the good shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that font, well, it gave some authenticity to the fact that we're going to watch ninjas and some authentic Japanese culture.
Super authentic, yeah. Just expect a very thick slice.
So, ninjas are like sneaky. They're known to be sneaky and silent killers and all that stuff. And that's cool and all. But I didn't know that they also had like super strength. They crushed
supernatural powers.
The freaking billiards ball.
It starts off in the fucking golf course, and that guy just
knocks
a golf ball off into the rough or whatever.
I think the golf ball would be more difficult because it's smaller.
Yeah, that's
I don't know how much pressure you need to actually crush one of those in your hand.
Literally turn it into sand.
More than possible.
But humanly possible. It's pretty out there in its craziness, just like the other two movies in our previous. Watches Breaking and Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
This movie was made in 1984. This movie was made before Breaking and Breaking 2.
Almost 10 years before I was born.
Well, it was a golden year for Lucinda Dickey. I mean, she made three classic movies in one year.
Crazy.
I mean, what more do you need to do after that?
Well, apparently nothing.
Did
you say all in one year?
They were made all in one year, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back to back. She was a busy person for that year.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and never again.
I don't know if she's made or did too much after this, but I mean, it was these three movies and this is what she is remembered for.
Oh, is she?
Oh, you mean the only three things she's known for?
Right.
Well, she's done other things, but I don't really care about that other stuff. This is all that matters.
See, what else has she done?
She came out in some reality dance show too.
Oh, okay.
But that was probably a decade ago she did that.
Oh, so this was much later than this.
Yeah, it was much later than this, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a bummer that she only did these three movies and that's it.
Well, starting off with the movie, we are introduced to an anonymous ninja who goes into some cave out somewhere in the mountains. I don't really know exactly where this is located. I assume it's in California. Right?
Or why it's even in California.
Or why it's even in California. Well, they probably got stashes all over the world, Jerry. I believe what is going on is that he is an assassin, and he is contracted to assassinate
all the cops,
all the people on the golf course. I don't know why.
Which is all
So were they some kind of
Chads?
Rich people that did somebody wrong?
I think it was like a senator or somebody, and he was supposed to kill him, and
something like that.
In turn, killing all his bodyguards and all the people around him, including the girlfriend. Right.
No witnesses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he completes his task, and then I guess he makes enemies in the cops that come
to stop him. Because they overhear on the radio that there's a...
Somebody's
like,
getting...
People
murdered.
Are getting killed in the golf course.
People are getting sliced up in the golf course.
Yeah, they
fucking
go,
ninja.
They go and try and stop him, obviously.
With their BB guns.
Their BB guns, which we'll mention later. Yeah. Like the,
oh, man. The, right.
The props that they have in this movie.
Yeah. They spare no expense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be sparing?
Expensive? Well, they spared it. Then in that case, they did spare a lot of it.
Quite a bit. I mean,
they spared a lot.
If we're going to go, they...
They're like,
they lucked out.
Let's not get these replicas. Let's just get these BB guns.
They'll never know.
Here's a budget for your props, $50.
Just
go
just,
on and get them right
just tape
now.
It over. Yeah, they won't. They can't see.
This
nobody
is your entire
difference.
Budget.
Yeah.
And we noticed as like with this ninja, like you can tell it's... They make it known that it's an Asian person or possibly a Japanese person in this ninja class. Well, the ninja is Japanese.
In Japanese.
Yes, very authentic.
Only in and for the subtitles always read what is it? They always read mumbles in foreign language or something like that. Like it's
foreign
never,
language mumbles.
Yeah,
shouts in foreign language.
Intensifies in foreign language.
Right, exactly.
They emphasize that with the eyeshadow.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's how, that
now,
is the...
We're talking about the actual ninja or once, you know, Lucinda Dickey's
well,
character.
No, they all do.
Well,
they,
that,
all
that
of
comes
the,
out
even the one-eyed ninja has takes the time to put some ninja eyeshadow on his one good
really,
eye.
Yeah,
really, yeah, he does.
I hate to say this, but really to slant those eyes, you know?
That's, that. Well, I mean, that's
it's
how
just,
you, that's how you, you can tell it's a ninja.
From a different
you,
orientation.
They emphasize the eyeshadow and the...
Like, you can, they can just leave it as is. They really have to, like, really throw that eyeliner.
Yeah, yeah,
it's... Emphasize their ninja-ness, you know.
It's
that's a new word, guys.
It's integral to
like
the ninja uniform. Yeah,
ninja-ness.
Eyeshadow. Mm-hmm. It's a very fucking weird, dumb shit look, but whatever. Yeah, that's how you know the mark of the ninja by the amount of are they wearing eyeshadow? Yes. Okay.
So they also go along with the scene where they're trying to kill the ninja, where they all like surround him, start shooting him.
Yeah,
he takes about how
right.
many bullets? How many rounds do you think?
He took a lot. There was actually a good chunk of cops
dude,
in there, like a 20 good
or
25, 30,
some shit,
30 cops.
Bullets and
do you,
and what is it? Like five of them survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't you think that like the fact that they're in a circle, kind of shooting this person?
Yeah. I was gonna say they're standing point blank to this guy in a
like
circle.
They're gonna shoot each other. At
they
some
don't
point,
shoot each other at all. These are magic bullets. They go where they're supposed to go only, right?
Well, no, they were aiming at the... I saw some
they're
of
aiming at the ground.
Towards the ground.
Yeah, like at the bitch's feet.
Just cripple him.
They weren't shooting to kill. They were
actually,
shooting to maim.
They were shooting
and
to maim.
Speaking
yeah.
of, I know the ninja was supposed to be like... mystical and he could survive a bunch of shots and stuff, but these guys were like shooting shotguns at his feet.
Shotguns, assault rifles.
I'm pretty sure
some
that
pistols
break
in there.
Something.
His toes should have exploded. Basically, it was like the RoboCop moment, but like all of his legs.
I can understand a handgun though. Let's just be. I can understand that, but a shotgun.
Well, I mean,
and then when they realize the hand, the guns don't work, they bust out the batons. You know, because obviously that's going to give them a better chance.
The body like just took too much at some point. That's why at some point when he comes,
he just upon, it goes into ninja hibernation.
He comes into Christie, the trilogy.
After the initial like. Golf course massacre and like the cops are dying, we get introduced to Lucinda Dickey's character,
right,
which is her name is Christy?
Christy, yeah.
Christine. Or some shit like that.
Yeah. So she's one of those workers that works on the phone
lines.
On
the phone lines.
She works for CP&L.
Right, sure.
So one of those phone companies, which is an interesting job. As to her hair was looking fabulous for being up on the post.
Yeah.
That hard hat wasn't like damaging it at all.
No, it kept everything in place.
She did not have hard hat hair.
No, not at all. It was very full.
It was very spongy. Yeah,
it was very VO5 type.
Very strong perm.
She was like
VO5.
Yeah, the shampoo. She was using VO5.
Yeah, herbal essence.
Herbal essence wasn't around at the time. It was just VO5. Yeah. Bro.
Damn, right. it was before then.
It was before the herbal essence.
Fuck, this movie's old.
Funnily, looking at here, before we're farting around through the IMDb page that she's got, and so she's billed here on her first bit as a girl greaser in Grease 2.
Well, there you go.
And very forgettable.
Grease 2 is kind of a fantastic movie, so
that no one remembers.
Oh, I remember it. It's got some quality.
No one should remember
musical numbers in there.
Oh, does it?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ninja transfers his spirit onto Lucinda Dickey and by giving her his samurai sword.
Right. Yeah.
And I would say this is probably a scene taken from. Well, there could be scenes in other films in the past, but I'm gonna say this scene was also ripped and thrown into Child's Play when the character like puts his hands on the doll and says some kind of weird foreign language mumble and then transfers his soul into Chucky.
Oh yeah, that's
possibly.
Right.
So what? This sword is Chucky of swords.
Yeah, there you go.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, because it comes to life.
It's glows. Like the Wendigo or whatever. You pass on the ninja sword, you become the ninja.
It doesn't like music, as we've seen, and it destroys stereos.
Wendigo? That's right. Yeah, yeah. You know that, not the legend, but the folklore to that is that
In a Wendigo, it's if you're a cannibal, you eat humans.
And then whenever the Wendigo cuts anyone or like damage them, it's like a sort of like a vampire that bites them. They become the same thing. Yeah. Okay, Jerry. Yeah, you're just shaking your head at me and like not using your words, which is fine, I guess. But yeah.
I don't think that's Wendigo.
Wendigo.
I'm not too familiar with this Wendigo stuff.
Wendigo,
like Winnebago.
There you go.
Well, this is besides the point here, but yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the like any of
coming
that other
back
shit,
to the movie.
You know, like you pass on the sword, you get the shit, and you're cursed.
Yeah. So she doesn't become fully cursed until later on in the film. There's like a process which we'll discuss later on.
Right.
They go from this scene. She has a sword. She goes to the cops. She kind of sees other cops. She has
little
like.
She was pretty freaked out because she just got like
assaulted,
semi attacked. I guess
this
he was a
random
ass assaulted kind of. Yeah.
Yeah,
Japanese
complaints
dude.
To the cops. To which the cops are flirting with her. Instead.
Right. Yeah.
Like, she got complains attacked to the by cops, guy, but hey, you want to get some dinner
while at the same time telling them to piss off, and then all of a sudden, yeah, she gets hit on by
80s men. Cops were creeps.
And then she has
a gym scene. Is after that scene?
That's what we're gonna get to next. The gym scene. She's I think she also
it's like the only believable
scene.
She also
before as
like,
the gym instructor.
But before we get to the gym, the cop that she was complaining to ended up going to
the
gym
Greek
too.
Chewbacca.
He's like kind of stalking her.
Yeah. So that cop ended up being a main character too. We see him
Billy?
There at the gym too.
Billy, something
where
or
he
another.
Is as helpful as he was in the station, because right after the gym, there was a girl that was getting assaulted, and lo and behold, he's right there in the crowd
Christy,
while she does the work.
There's the girl getting assaulted by these three douchebags. Christy comes in and tries to stop the whole thing. Then those douchebags actually start
somehow.
Trying to assault her. Then there's a crowd gathering around that are doing nothing but just fucking watching.
Of which the cop is part of
that. And the cop is part of that. And he's just standing there almost
in awe.
He's in awe.
Just sitting there like,
she starts kicking their ass. In which, after she
kicks forgets that he's a cop and he's got a gun.
After she kicks the ass of the assailant,
He arrests her.
He arrests her, yeah.
Oh, man,
he doesn't arrest
the
assailant.
Let's go downtown, babe.
That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
That
makes
a lot of sense.
What is the scene that follows? Is it when they get to her place?
Society in the 80s.
What is this movie?
It's very...
They get to her place. She comes out in just a towel on. Drops the towel to reveal her, as Jerry mentioned earlier, very unflattering panties. I don't know. It's 80s.
Her
it's 80s, Jerry.
Her grandma panties?
It's 80s,
Jerry. Grandma panties,
yeah.
She's
80s,
got them big old
80s,
parachute balloon ass. fucking
pretty much.
Then she puts on an overshirt.
Saggy panties.
And then pretty much seduces the guy with V8 juice.
Yes.
Apparently, is that old? I thought that was a 2000s era thing.
No, you're thinking of V8 that's been like processed even more with sugar and the fruit. Those easy little fruity,
it's very
fruit
natural,
punch drinks.
Healthy
yeah.
Bullshit, man. It's full of sodium.
Yeah, they're just.
And
as bad.
She pours the V8 on her chest.
Because she doesn't drink soft drinks. That's what she goes for.
See, when you went to go pick up the pizza, Roland, I mentioned to Jerry, I go, she doesn't drink sugar. She just drinks a shitload of sodium drinks.
Sodium is the way to go. That's
great. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody knows that.
Keeps them curved. Keeps the curves to fit in those granny panties just right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this scene takes place, and then that evening, the sword comes alive again. And does part one of the possession process.
Starts rattling away in the closet.
Urge to murder.
Yeah, it kind of floats out. She grabs onto it. And then that's it.
Right.
The guy wakes up.
But can we mention how she actually sleeps with the guy who she was very, very against
and hating in the first 5 minutes?
Does absolutely nothing to help her.
Arrests her and then still boom, her. Boom.
Plus, this guy has like a chest as hairy in the Wolfman's face.
He is a stuntman for American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
American Werewolf in Paris.
Yeah, all of those.
They
didn't CG any of that.
Cancer charity where they need wigs for kids.
His back looked the same as his chest.
It was a full on rug like all the way around.
Now, you mentioned that in the 80s that was a thing bastard. Too. Like that's what everybody
from,
was into.
From my understanding, I mean, as a child, I mean, a lot of people were hairy.
He's got so much hair on the back of his neck. It is so fucking gross. Ugh. All the way. It's just.
Roland, he wishes that he had that kind of hair.
Yeah, I wish in your dreams and in my nightmares.
No way. Those are my nightmares, not my dreams.
I want to talk about the possession process. Okay, we have the initial one where she meets the ninja. He gives her the sword. There's that little wind that insinuates that...
The ill wind.
There's evil going on.
Blows.
And then, of course, there's the... little possession part right after
the sex seducing
scene. Uh-huh. And then after that, we get a scene where the arcade game that she has in her house starts scanning her, it seems.
Where did Ninja Ghost learn how to Floyd laser manipulate lights. Electronics like that?
They're evil. They can do whatever
they
want.
They, I don't know, they know what the internet is. Some dumb shit.
What do you think that light was? Was it like ninja possession?
X-rays. She should have gotten cancer.
Ninja X-rays.
It looked like a scanner straight out of Star Trek.
Radiation. Boom. Skin cancer.
Like it was like going.
So
up
in
and
Star
down
Trek,
phase,
were they getting like possessed by ninjas as well?
Maybe.
Alien ninjas. Ninjas from space.
Could have been an overlaying theme that nobody caught on to.
Right.
Mind you, like at that second time when the sword comes out and everything. She grabs onto it. The whole blade is glowing very
lightsaber
brightly.
Style.
And then she looks into the camera. And we know she's fully possessed because of that eyeliner
The eyeliner, fierce gaze.
They really emphasize the eyeliner. Right. Like
it's a part of the transformation.
We know she's possessed by an Asian person because her eyes look very... I'm sorry.
Slanty?
I'm sorry, I'm not racist. Asian-y.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody says that before saying something super racist.
You got it, right?
Well, I'm just referencing the movie. That's exactly what they're doing here.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you were to try to do that shit now, you would say that's racist.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Because I'm not saying it to be racist. I'm saying the movie is kind of racist.
A little bit.
You're the ones that did it.
And after this, she finds the cave by some kind of telepathy of the spirit. And she gears up to go and kill
ninja
some more
brain
cops.
Powers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She goes to the cave and gets all those ninja weapons.
She breaks out all the toys.
She even gets herself a ninja outfit, too.
It's like they picked up a ninja kit from Toys R Us.
There's a closet in the cave, I assume, and has like various ninja outfits.
True. And who does she go? Because earlier she had seen one of the cops that had killed the ninja in the beginning, so she goes after him, which is where she gets all this
stuff.
Well,
she gets all the flashbacks or whatever.
Yeah, the first cop she kills is the guy who's playing pool in his house. She comes in, she breaks in.
Crushes
she also crushes one of the balls.
The pool balls.
Going back, she crushes one of the billiard balls. Straight up in her hand, makes it into... Powder.
I mean, I could see this guy I could see this guy going away with an injury, but to die from just being thrown out of the window and getting a couple of
No, because she slashed him in the face. I think
did she slash?
Oh, him? Yeah, there's like a quick little bit when she does this motion.
Oh, and then that's when he goes out the window.
I guess slices up his face.
Slices his face
him out
and
the window.
Knocks him out the window.
But we emphasized that there was no contact.
Yeah, no. Apparently, there's no contact. But I saw the motion was supposed to be on the face.
Okay, that's
the. But like apparently, that was a lethal hit.
Yeah. It falls out. He's dead. So then she
chopped his head off.
She goes back to the police station. Right. She's, later on the next day.
She doesn't remember any of this.
Yeah, she blacks out. Right, it's really not her fault.
It's all a dream.
Yeah. So she goes back to the police station and she sees another. This guy looks like a crooked cop. The Tom Selleck guy.
Oh yeah, the one that came out of the corner with the like two ladies.
Two ladies in his hands.
Into the jacuzzi. Yeah.
And I guess his shift was over because he went on over to the what is it?
The spa.
The spa. Yeah.
Hot tubby.
That has a single hot tub in there. It's like a private room.
Yeah.
It looks like they were gonna get it on at some point. It almost insinuates that.
And then Lucinda uses her moves pretty much. Just wedges herself between those other two girls, and they're like, "What the frick is this?"
They got really jealous real fast.
Selleck's
mustache was making out with one of the chicks, and the other one goes to answer the door, and it's Lucinda Dickey there, and she goes in, and the other two chicks immediately become jealous and step out of the pool. But they're both angry, and they stay to watch.
Well, one of them said, let's stay, because I want to see.
She sounded so angry.
Yeah, one of them wanted to watch.
Yeah, one of them wanted to watch. Yeah. The other one got mad.
And they're like, bunch of jerks. I'm going to stay and see this through to the end.
And then she goes crazy. Her weapon of choice for this one wasn't her sword like in the first one. It was
a hidden
needle on her ring. Yeah.
Right, she just gave him a little prick.
Twist off the cap and then just stabs him.
You know, when I was a kid and I saw this movie, I was like, man, that, you know, like those people that piss you off at school, man. Like, all you gotta do is walk up to him and just go like, yeah, what's up, dude? Just tap him on the arm and then they're fucking dead. You're like, justice.
I hope you're
right. What did they do? Oh, they fucking like didn't pick me for Foursquare.
I was the second to the last student to be selected for the soccer team.
Son of a bitch took the last Jell-O packet.
For God's sakes. Yeah.
At lunch. Yeah.
This motherfucker
fucking asshole
this
knows.
This motherfucker had the nerve to ask me for one of my French bread pizzas during lunch.
What a prick.
I'll kill him.
Yeah. He deserves to die.
She pops that guy with the ring.
Yeah, but then
she also kills
the two girls, which this ended up being like, okay, this ninja's truly bad because he's not just killing people out of revenge. Just
you
can't
leave any
kill.
Witnesses.
But yeah, you can't leave witnesses. That's you got to kill them all. But he like she chokes
he wants
that
to
other
keep
chick
murdering.
With that weird scream.
Well, yeah, there's.
Yeah, what does she use to choke
them
out?
The methods of killing also show the kind of evil. Like
a necktie
she,
or her
she
her
poisons
robe.
One,
robe,
rips
rope.
The skin, like the sort of where the neck is,
yeah.
With the ring off of the other one, then chokes the other one to death and drowns her at the same
time. I go, she couldn't just like pop him in the...
This
the
is
she couldn't just pop him with the ring too,
no?
Like,
yeah.
She had to take on, like, kill them in a worse fashion than she did
violent.
That cop, you know?
Right?
They called
the
her
cop,
a,
I think, got it the easiest. He just got
slut.
Poisoned. The other one got ripped up to shreds, and then the other one was
choked and drowned.
She was choked,
yeah, she drowned.
My goodness.
In a hot... Man, that's very...
She had it coming. Those,
hot,
en-
you know
those
I mean?
Envious
yeah,
hot
very
thoughts.
Very humid. Uh-uh. Humidity in there, like, it's ridiculous.
Can you kill me in the pool? I'd rather be...
Yeah, I want a nice, refreshing pool. Please.
Yeah, right. A nice chill time. Yeah, uh-huh.
Let the coldness of death be with you.
So of course they
after that scene is when the one-eyed revenger ninja, good ninja.
Sword hilt eye patch
they use
ninja.
That term very loosely.
So this ninja was apparently from the first two ninja movies. Is that correct?
From my
that are unrelated.
So
I have never seen them.
He wasn't even mentioned once in the beginning of this movie, which I thought was pretty weird. He was just kind of introduced as a side character.
And there's
in
a
my
flashback
opinion.
Later that
but he's a main character in the other two movies.
Like his grudge
so,
against
yeah.
the.
Okay, so they put a lot of the focus
spirits.
In this movie into the bad ninja. Because
yeah.
I thought,
yeah,
the, I thought he, the, when the movie first started, I thought the ninja was some kind of good ninja that was trying to finish a job, a task.
Well, yeah, that's
what
I'm saying. Like, it seems kind of confusing a little
but
bit, you know?
Then he ends up being the bad one.
The bad guy,
yeah.
And then they
I mean,
introduce
when
the
you see him start
one,
murdering
the
all
blue.
The cops, they must all be.
And he looks
all,
like a bad guy to begin with.
Well, I think whenever they were creating this movie, they just assumed. Mm. I mean, all the canon movies. Were made fairly quickly, so I don't know if the emphasis was like, oh, we need to continue the story. Let's just make another ninja movie with some ninjas in it. And then, of course, they brought in Lucinda Dickey, but apparently Ninja 3 Domination is very different from the other two because they throw in that possession,
the mysticism
evil
to
element
everything.
To
the
it,
supernatural
yeah.
bent.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah, which is weird. I don't understand that, but I mean, okay.
It worked for me as a kid. You know, they jumped the shit out of the shark there.
I mean, at first I thought it was a demon that could have possessed her, but it just ended up being the guy's spirit.
These are the normal, awesome superpowers of a ninja.
He's like one of the most evil ninjas there is.
Right.
Because according to the guy, which we're going to talk to,
worse than the Shredder?
Yeah, worse than Super Shredder, bro.
What? Secret of the Ooze.
The guy, the scene that we go to next is the kind of like the Exorcist version of the movie.
Oh, where
they try to
kick the demon out of her by taking her to that temple.
I don't know the guy's name, but it's a guy that plays like Lopan.
It looks like James Chen, or I think that's his name. Hold on,
you were saying all kinds of names that I
was like, because I couldn't remember. Really, I know his first name, I just don't remember the.
You said James Wang, James Chen.
James
Wan. I was like, Jesus Christ, Roland.
I was trying to.
I know you were trying.
The guy that looks like he's come on plenty of other movies. I think
he has come on a lot of movies.
It was pretty surprising to see him in this movie specifically.
You know, you could just type in "Big Trouble in Little China" and get that Low Bang. Is that what it's?
Or Bang.
Or we could also type in Ninja 3: The Domination and just look at the cast.
I don't think he was actually true, was he put on there billed as Shaman or something?
No, you're wrong. He's not the guy.
No, James Hong.
Not Wong, dude.
Look up
his filmography.
I really think you just wanted his name to be James Wang.
I could have sworn it was.
Yeah, look, it's that guy. But I don't think that's a guy from Ninja. Is he come out there? Is that part of his filmography?
You got to go to 1984, bro.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Man,
way back then.
Got a lot of crap.
Don't use the
That's like in the 50s.
Holy crap,
dude. That's in the 50s.
I didn't think he went back that damn far.
Maybe he's a child actor, dude.
I think so. Okay.
Up.
Yeah.
Ninja 3: The Domination. That's him. Miyashima.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What's he called as?
He's
Miyashima.
Yeah, but like in the subtitles, it only says shaman. Like, it never says.
Well, then
says,
he's a shaman
like,
guy, yeah.
Exactly. So, wow. Holy fuck, he has a big, gross mole on his face and those.
Yeah, the
Fu
Manchu
pubes.
Prominent thing that I noticed. That's why I couldn't tell. I don't think it was him because of the mole.
Yeah.
But I guess fake mole confirmed.
That's called movie magic.
Yeah. So, he tries to exorcise the demon out of Lucinda Dickey, and that's when she starts doing her like.
I think the last thing we mentioned was the guy here.
Was James Hong and the Ridiculoso fucking exorcism ritual or whatever that they go through.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he like whips Lucinda Dickey with like those priest holy relics or whatever the hell. It just looks like they've got her tied up and they're S&M-ing her down or whatever. It's fucking silly.
The one thing I can tell you is that I feel that she went all in on that particular scene.
Oh, when she's yelling at him or whatever.
Yeah, she went
Japanese
all in,
and
well, I mean, all the screaming, all the contorting.
This was before The Exorcist, right?
No, this was after.
Yeah,
this was after
this
The Exorcist.
So this was her doing her.
This
her
is probably
best,
like she wanted to be as close to it as possible because I got some real Exorcist vibe from this.
Yeah, they.
And I was about to say if this was before The Exorcist, that's probably a good inspiration for that movie. But never mind.
Well, they doll her up to make her look like one of those rodeo clowns or whatever. She's just all painted down.
And the thing.
Yeah, didn't the eyeliner change? Wasn't it like almost red, like blood or something?
No, that was in her eyes.
That was in her eyes.
Hardcore, yeah.
She got the Ray-Bies. Oh, boy. There's no fixing her. Got to put her down. Got to be humane. So that scene ends with her just passing out or what how did it
yeah
go
yeah
again?
she passes out she's kind of like
she almost breaks free from her restraints
she breaks free but
they
then the cop like goes and like ties her up and
to the rescue
the shaman guy is telling her that it's a mistake to do that and she kind of like loses it and then that's when all the spinning happens and she puts that guy up on the ceiling and we're just like
that's right she lifted him up and oh man that has to be one of the funnier things that I've seen that actor do that I think of it you know watching that I was just like man you're gonna go on to do some cool movies but this is not one of them
it was entertaining not the best movie that's for sure
well but yeah
entertaining
it
for
was
time.
Fucking ridiculous mostly yeah so that is a form of entertainment
mind you this is mostly stems from those ridiculous fight scenes where no contact swords are very lethal
we're just dancing around each other there was that that one scene later in the movie where the guy, the good ninja catches the sword from the bad ninja, and he's trying to stop it from getting, you know, stabbing him in the face. And he just sort of like deflects it. He just sort of moves his head to the side, and then like it stabs to where his face should be. And he like looks back and ha ha, you know, like, ah, you miss me, bitch. Really? Okay, that's
that good quote unquote
action.
He had some funny moves.
Sneaky
too.
Ninja dog.
Going to the whole sword fighting when he chases him into the house, and like the guy's slashing, or Dickie's character is like stabbing the window and trying to get the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
Ducks and dodges.
She hides in that derelict
and then
house.
Just punches the open space right. And hits nothing. It's just like, what are you doing?
Ninja fist. This is how ninjas enter abandoned houses. We don't use doors or any of this. Fuck you. We need to break some boards.
Where I mentioned the fact that like he's always tense every time.
Oh, right.
He does the turn. It's really tight.
He's got that.
Or when that sword came out and he touched. He was like,
he's really going for the like the Bruce Lee flex or whatever.
Yeah,
all the time.
It was very tight. It was very, very tense. You know.
True. It was. Yes, that's somewhat, sort of, mostly.
Well, to move
accurate.
On after
also,
that,
unlimited ninja stars. Oh my god, I can't.
Unlimited.
I haven't mentioned
every
this
kind.
Yet. I'm surprised.
Every
this
kind.
Is the equivalent
point,
of like a
throwing...
gun in a movie where that keeps on firing and never reloads.
Oh,
like,
I got the perfect movie
store.
For that. Actually, great example. Legion. The movie Legion.
Oh,
remember that one?
No.
When they're on top of the diner and they're just
shooting away at
those, like, I guess evil angels that are coming at them, and they're just like shooting forever and a day. This is the equivalent of that. There was like so many ninja stars that they had tucked in and around their.
I saw
orb,
Legion.
Their robes,
imagine
whatever.
If they really had that as many as they had during this movie. As they're running around, garbage. You just hear like.
Yeah, that's right. Like the bunch of clinking and stuff. Like
on.
But yeah, man, and also so many different shapes of ninja stars. I didn't know there's like some with six heads or like tips.
And you know the fact
tips.
That I mean they're just grabbing them out of the side. There's
spikes,
no, they don't seem like
the
they're
caltrops,
in like a little pocket.
They just look like
no,
hardware,
no, they're just like pulling
nail,
a lot of
like
random
box of nails or something.
Like. Entries in there.
If you remember, like when they're gearing up in the cave, they literally just grab handfuls and fucking just tuck them into.
Yeah, they jam
them
into
their
robe,
into their little robe there.
Do they have secret pockets in there?
Right, exactly.
So, they're
no.
ninjas. They have secret everything.
They have unlimited pocket space. Exactly.
They have secret pockets in their secret pockets.
Yeah. That's where they. That's. I mean, later on, that other the good ninja pulls out the chain whip anal beads or whatever out of nowhere.
That's right. He put on
like,
a full chain
like,
out of nowhere.
I will block your sword now.
I don't know if they're beads though. But
fuck is you?
Yeah, it was a chain.
He had to have pulled them out of his ass.
There weren't any beads there.
I couldn't tell. I was just like, what is going on? Oh
yeah,
man.
Well, yeah. Right. Whenever they came out, Roland was like, oh my, it's just gonna get interesting.
Finally,
where'd those come from?
Some real kink.
This is what I've been waiting for. This is what
I take
about.
A bite of my pizza slice.
Okay, so after this scene, we see Lucinda Dickey, who's like kind of trying to. What's the word I'm looking for?
What is she? What is she trying to do?
Taking care of her wounds, her bruises,
tending to her.
Tending to her wounds, or whatever.
Wounds,
but I made a comment earlier, but I don't think I'll repeat it. About the bruises and stuff.
Oh right,
yeah. We'll just let that one pass.
She the bruises they looked suspiciously very.
He's not gonna let them pass.
Very almost pretty. I mean, yeah, like what? That's not a real black eye. It looks. I don't know. It looks attractive. What? Confusing.
Oh god.
She's doing the Lucinda Dickey version of. Of a battered wife, and it didn't quite. It's not very convincing, obviously.
Well, I mean, after this is when she almost attempts to kill the boyfriend.
So it's Billy's turn.
Yeah,
because he was a part of this, and she just remembers at the time as he's.
Was this before the cemetery scene? Just out of curiosity.
No, I think this is. This was before.
Before,
this,
okay. Yeah, because that's when she goes full.
No. This is
full
after.
Retard. I
this
mean,
was,
full
was,
ninja.
This was after because like she gets all those bruises from
never
going
go full
to the
retard.
The full the massacre
never.
That she does and kills those last two cops.
Right.
And then
right,
Billy's
right.
the last one. She's going to try and kill him. But mind you, with that scene in the funeral or that funeral scene in the cemetery, she goes and like uses these giant bow and arrows to like
ridiculously
kill these,
long,
outrageously big.
Long.
They're so big.
Arrows.
Can't tell where the hell she carried them. Was it?
No. She had a quiver, but
yeah.
they're
she
just
did? Okay.
They're
I just.
protruding so bad.
Huge. Yeah, it was like fucking 4 foot arrows, some garbage. They were almost taller than she was.
They were almost as tall as she was. Yeah, it looked like it at least. I mean, just the angle of the shot.
How many did she fire before the cops tried to come after her? She was there in that tree for the longest time.
Did she kill other cops?
Yeah, she killed four.
I think she literally killed four of them. He falls on top of the... She shoots one of them through the heart and falls on top of the dead guy. He falls on top of the coffin.
Everybody freaks out, and then she shoots Mrs. Gets another random cop. I guess he's just a bystander chasing after her, trying to shoot after them. And then shoots the cop that she was going after, the other bad cop. What's weird is that none of these cops are bad. Just making that clear.
They just did their job, like they're supposed to. You know,
at this point, we should be shown in these times.
Yes, it's so relevant.
So evil ninja does the evil ninja things. Except when it got to the boyfriend,
the cops were basically there to break her fall and cushion the blows, and then she breaks out of the hypnosis that she's under, and runs away to the temple.
She runs away, goes to the temple because he had mentioned that he wanted to take her to the temple.
Yeah,
because the good ninja mentioned it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the good ninja finds
Billy. Like they arrest him.
The good ninja found the dead body of the other ninja in the morgue. Yeah. Took his body to the temple. Tells Billy whenever he gets kind of arrested.
Because he gets arrested after he meets Lucinda Diggy for the first time. Like, she runs away after he, like, pimp slaps her and then takes off her mask and realizes, oh, my God, I hit a woman. And then lets her go. And then, yeah, the cops arrest him, and he's like, Billy, you need to know something.
He said it exactly like that. It was really uncanny.
Man, if you practice, someday you too could have.
I like when he tells them. He was like, well, what about the handcuffs? He's like,
don't worry.
Oh, God.
He still had to get the keto lock up.
It's like that pedo tone. Just,
don't worry.
It was horrible.
Don't worry.
He didn't ninja out of those. He just unlocked her.
Yeah, well, he like...
Ninja power.
He put all the other ones to sleep and then just like took the key.
Handcuffs are no shit. To ninja.
So many cop fatalities.
Again, I think that they were just like warm, they were almost like warm body stunt doubles to break Lucinda Dickey's fall whenever she was in threat of hurting herself. Where, like, when she jumps down from the 20 feet up on that on the tree when she's after she's sniping everybody with her ridiculous spear arrows.
Oh yeah, that's right. Swings.
Those two cops drive Spider-Man's their motorcycles under her tree instead of stopping to like shoot her or do anything. She just jumps down onto them and they break her fall, you know, while she breaks their necks. It's just, oh, cool.
Well, I think there they were driving by on the bikes, along. And then she like swings off of the tree.
So they hadn't seen her.
Did they see her point, beforehand?
Maybe they were just trying to escape.
They probably did. I mean, if they didn't, they're really.
It didn't
cops.
Really. Yeah, exactly. It didn't really.
The training really hasn't show taken with that, these two.
That they noticed where these big ass arrows were coming from out of the middle of nowhere in broad goddamn daylight.
Yeah, it was broad daylight.
There was no hiding any of this shit, but.
She couldn't wait to kill them, like the when it was nighttime ninja. Or something. Like,
yeah, man, you had to control it.
Exactly. Yeah, you had to do it in front of all the freaking cops. in broad daylight.
Well, no one said ninjas make the
greatest
decisions.
Because it's not like they could have stopped her anyways.
They very clearly make the poorest decision.
As the lore in the movie goes, only a ninja can kill another ninja.
Yeah, I guess she just didn't care.
Yeah.
But I mean, the ninja died either way, so. Technically, the ninja died. I don't know.
Body died, but his spirit was immortal.
Wait, was that the case?
Yeah, yeah. When she goes into the temple later and she queefs out the ninja spirit back into its body, it comes like right out of her crotch. I don't care. That was just some silly looking shit. Just a lot of blue smoke and flames. Gross, babe. What is going on? I can't help it if
like a ghost came out of a body. I don't know about that.
I don't know if it was a ghost. It was very smoky and just she was sweating.
Well, by this point, she doesn't have to like fight anymore.
It's that ninja like, swamp crutch.
The ninja's like gone out of her body.
Right,
into
he
the
goes back into his healed she's, body. She's or safe. Like she's half good. Yeah, body. Yeah.
But then we see that the eyeliner's back on and we're ready to go.
Yeah, full on.
Final battle with the ninjas. What did y'all think
power.
About that? The final battle.
Oh, on the mountaintop?
You mean when they go out? I just want to mention the end part. The battle itself was
fucking dork, forgettable.
Dork, yes, how? But like that ending when he.
Well, did you? I don't know if y'all saw. Like, remember, is that like they kind of possessed all those like monks that
right,
were there?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and they all kind of attacked.
Yeah, right, the evil ninja throws like a fireball and like screams at him or some shit, and they're just like, "Aye, my ears!" And then we're evil. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
What was the
mind control?
So confusing.
But the actual final energy. Battle, like on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
When Lucinda Dickey and Billy go and find him up there, still doing their thing. I think I honestly the fight itself isn't that great, but I like the scenery.
Oh,
like where they're fighting is pretty picture. Cool. It's fine. It's pretty cool where they're fighting.
It's like out in the sticks in like Southern California or something.
Yeah,
shit.
I mean that wasn't a fake set. That was like I think they were like really
that part
on
was,
location.
Yeah,
that looked pretty cool.
The rest of it was garbage.
But like what the, happened the at the end there when shit. The friggin' evil ninja buries himself?
Oh, so that was ninjutsu, I believe, is the technical term.
He tie-bowed himself into the ground.
Nobody stopped him while he was doing that. He just kind of went...
Well, yeah, spinning, and then like
everybody's just watching.
Literally just watching, like going,
"What the fuck?
What?
Yes,
where's this guy going?
We can't stop him. Oh no." He's going to cause an earthquake or some shit. All
yeah,
the rocks
so that's
start
exactly
shaking,
what he
does. And then
he causes an earthquake.
He cracks apart the ground, and yeah.
The good ninja's there on the side of the cliff.
Yeah, he's hanging off the side, and the bad ninja appears out of nowhere to grab him by the leg, and he just looks down and stabs him right through the top of his fucking skull. Dude. All the way to the hill. Just buries
straight
that
up,
shit right
man.
Into like, okay, that's believable.
That ninja's skull just got split.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got spiked.
But then, I mean, we all know a ninja can only destroy ninjas.
Right, so
that's the only way it could have ended.
Exactly. Earlier in the fight, when the good ninja and the bad one are fighting, Lucinda Dickey runs in there, tries to give him her, you know, her 2 cents, and stabs him right through the gut, and he's just like, looks at her, bitch, please, kind of moment, sort of thing. What? You ain't a ninja. You're just, you're ninja, bitch. And so, nothing. Like, yeah.
I'm kind of enjoying Ninja's, Roland's, like, version of Ninja Talk. You not ninja, bitch. You don't stab. Get out of my way, bitch.
That's right. To the back. But get behind a Marie.
I was gonna say, so this was the third movie in the Lucinda Dickey trilogy,
yeah,
and I gotta say,
that is correct, yes.
Compared to the other two, I think the effects on this one might have been the worst.
Well, mind you, this is like the first go at one of some of these movies.
It was
so,
like
I mean,
the like
this was like their attempt to go even further in the effects than they had in their previous.
They
movies.
They really did. Not do a good job there. Mm.
Well, it's the 80s. I mean,
well, this is, I'm trying to think of what I would consider.
There's
the
still better examples
movie,
of that
so.
Out there.
I did
well,
really dig
effects
the fucking
like
soundtrack.
Back to the Future with just the next year. Yes,
the
soundtrack.
The score
good,
for
yeah.
this is the tits. It was fucking cool as shit. I mean, it was
the score is pretty cool. Yeah,
And also the cover art for the actual movie and the I guess the title screen
well,
on there.
I feel
it
like
looks
this
like
a might
bad
be
ass
a
poster,
Blu-ray specific.
Well,
cover, right?
The reason we're doing this, we're doing these. This trilogy is because I really like these movies. For instance, when I was a kid, all three of these movies were on a recorded VHS. I think it was like a Polaroid VHS tape.
Yeah.
And there literally was Breaking 2 and then Ninja 3 Domination. Why they were all together, I really don't know. I mean, there was no...
bundled in.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't something.
They weren't.
I don't think
at
anyone.
All.
I don't think because I think my dad was the one that recorded these for my
like
family.
The Lucinda Dickey collection.
Yeah, I mean, they just happened to come out because they all came out the same year, so they were all like on HBO or Cinemax together. Mm-hmm. So you just record them all at one time. The original cover came out in 2016, like the DVD version, and then Shout Factory reissued it just this year with this cover, the collector's edition, with the new cover art, which is pretty cool. Which is the reason why I got it, because I've never owned the DVD version of this movie up until now. I've had a recorded VHS copy. I've always looked for the actual original VHS copy at any video store that was going out of business, but I could never find it. And also a reason why I recently bought Breaking 1 and Breaking 2 on Blu-ray as well. I owned Breaking 1 on DVD. But Breaking 2 came out on its own at some point, which we mentioned in a previous episode why I didn't purchase it.
Actually, crazy fact here. Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, is not available for online streaming anywhere.
No, it's not.
Oh, really?
So
it's not on Amazon to rent?
No,
not,
no.
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Nowhere. You have to buy it on
Blu-ray.
Only physical.
Physical media is still alive, people. Let's not forget that.
Well, especially with like cult movies like these, like I don't. There's not too many times you'll find them on Netflix or Prime or Vudu or something like that. You may be able to rent them, but even then, you might not even be able to do that either. You have to buy the actual physical copy.
What about like was it the Redbox or whatever rental? Maybe no.
No,
no.
Not even.
These, like, these movies are them. Way yeah. too like.
Yeah, it's
obscure.
I think
it that.
It'd be a waste of time to do that. So they do like limited runs of these Blu-rays, just like this one here.
Yeah,
and you also get the special interview with Lucinda Dickey in it as well, which is also something I enjoyed very much. So if you ever want to watch Ninja 3 Domination, you can order it.
I'd recommend it.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually, it's definitely
worth
a few
beers. Any of these
movies.
Like, they're
you could just sit there.
Pretty entertaining for the number. For 80s movies compared to now. We have a bunch of different things now.
It will take you back to the 80s.
It was fun to see. Also, the vehicles are pretty old school here, too.
Oh, all the
what did you see, Roland? The El Camino with the fucking
God, yeah. So there was an El Camino with a fucking camper on it. Like, I have never seen that shit before, and those things are just everywhere in Texas. It's fucking gross generally, and in so many goddamn movies to begin with. This was the first time, and I've seen it before and I didn't notice it. This was the first time I had noticed that. Yeah, they put a fucking camper on the back. It just looked so weird. Some kind of, I know, what was it, who the fuck described El Camino as like a vehicular hermaphrodite? I think that was on Archer or some shit like that, I want to say.
I have no idea.
It's a bit of a shit show with that noise. The other bit
what
that was fun when
do you watch?
I think it was an episode of Archer where they were making fun of the El Camino because Archer himself was like, yeah, this is great. And they just start talking tons of shit about it. But the props for this movie were just, I mean, did we go through that? There was just,
oh no, we
so
did. We should talk about
trash.
The props before we end this.
Again,
episode.
Like, it's like they fucking went.
So many ninja stars.
They went through
we talked about
every
that,
Dollar General,
to bring it up again. So
every
many.
Dollar Tree, and like, for good measure, they bought a ninja kit from Toys R Us or some shit. And
I want to buy one.
That
I
mean, ninja sword was also very tiny, or unless I'm thinking of a katana,
yeah,
unless entirely a
was
different
one of those
thing.
Smaller ones, like the, was it the wakizashi, or
is a katana different than whatever they were using?
Yeah, they have different
samurai
sizes.
Sword,
there's the general, the generalized ninja sword that I understand is the ninja two.
Is that a real thing?
Yes. It's basically a katana. I think it's just a little shorter than the samurai.
He also had
blade.
A pipe too. That shot
the
deadly needle.
Oh, right, the blow dart.
Yeah, the blow dart. There you go. He had that too. He had that chain with the spiky claws at the very tip that he used to swing on trees and drag enemies
called.
In general. So
and he had all
these
things. These
ninjas were pretty decked out with gear.
They were all these things were in
little outfit
jacket
there.
Originally, the ninjas were they had all
and
this stuff
no
because they were super. What's the word? They were very fucking. Ingenuitive, they would just improvise all kinds of goddamn weapons out of farming tools, that kind of thing. And so that's where a lot of this weird shit comes from, like the ninja sickles and I just said that in my head. I think I just described like a flavor of ice cream or something. But yeah, it was a fucking a sickle.
Can I have a ninja sickle? Two soups, please.
Mm-mm. There we go. Extra ninja.
We have some ninja star sprinkles.
Yeah. Hey. That sounds marketable. You stop that. It's useful.
Okay, so we're gonna like wrap this up, and we're gonna talk about the ratings. Jerry, what rating would you give Ninja 3 Domination? From 1 to 10.
Oh,
probably a solid 7.
Yeah, solid 7.
That's,
okay.
That's kind of actually that's about what I was thinking.
If anything, a 6 at my worst, but I want to give it a 7.
7.
No,
okay.
It's entertaining. It's amusing. It's not a good movie. It's not one of those like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and experience this like watching Schindler's List or some fucking Titanic.
I wasn't expecting
or whatever the
80s fuck. Carpet, but yeah.
So
Roland, what do you give this movie?
You know, I probably would give it a 6. actually, that I think about it. Like, I would go for Lucky 7 kind of thing, but that seems a little more than it really needs. Like, my, again, my favorite parts of the movie, it's the music. The soundtrack is really what I was into. The rest of it is just, like, it's chuckle material or
Break-In
whatever.
And Break-In 2 were a good solid 2-8 material, factor. Just because of it's an upbeatness.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Was 7. Like, I get the best.
This is a somber 7.
A somber 7.
A reluctant 7.
I don't know. The whole idea of possession 7. And ninjas and just cops dying all over the place. It was a wild ride.
It does give a very weird fucking picture. Paint a very vivid murdering spree of all the cops. Oh, yeah.
Well,
also, I can't get over the fact that the good ninja has an eye patch made out of
the hilt of a sword.
Of a sword,
the cross guard.
It's pretty badass. Let's be real.
What were you going to say, though?
I was going to give you my rating.
Teach their own, I guess.
My rating is a solid 7. I'm going to give it a solid 7, yeah.
7-7-6. Rolling, you broke the lucky streak.
Good.
7-6-7. We are. 7-6-7. I'm going to just tell you the ratings that are on IMDb. IMDb has a 5.1 out of 10. We have 90% of Google.
So I'm super generous right now.
90% of Google users like this movie.
90%?
90%. People who are on Google like this movie.
Okay.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 44%, obviously rotten. Okay. Obviously.
Yeah. Much better than I thought it was going
to
be.
That's where you get the snobs.
The audience score is a 53%.
This movie is supposed to be something interesting. Really? Fuck off.
Is that their voice right there?
Yeah, why not?
That's another voice.
Just,
I'm Willie Anderson.
That's how those reviewers sound like.
Yeah, exactly. Those stuck-up pricks.
Okay.
Bunch of elitists.
Thanks, Ray, for inviting me to be part of this here trilogy. I had a good time watching these 80s flicks and looking forward to other ones.
Yeah, no, we should have a segment with just ninja movies.
Show me all these old... Bad
all this
movies.
Old garbage, yeah. Right?
I could have lived my life without.
Just wait, Jerry. We got to watch Bubba Hotep.
What is that? That's a good movie. It's Bruce Campbell.
It's Bruce Campbell playing Elvis.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's in a nursing home.
Yeah. Oh, he's in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is
cool.
Fucking weird. It's
okay,
great.
All
right, we're going.
We're going to wrap this up. Yeah. This was CineQuest Video episode 3. Lucinda Dickey Trilogy, Part 3.
Gotta love that.
Ninja 3, Domination. I'm Ray.
Sound
Jerry.
Roland, peace, bitches.
All right, well, see you next time.
You guys are not bitches.
You'll always be bitches to me, near and dear to my not bitch heart.